Gentlemen, could I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Winder, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
Free has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We got a great program lined up for you today. Talk a little hockey with Chris Kerber. Our featured guest, Bob Glauber, who's written a book, Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 80s. That's Bill Parcells, Bill Walsh, and Joe Gibbs. We're also going to talk about maybe the best single high school basketball game of the season coming up at Highland on Saturday night. And we will also have Martin Kilcoyne in studio at 11 o'clock. Our opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. I've known Cartier Gordon since he was 12 years old. He's always been bigger and better than everyone else. He's also been troubled. Ejections, suspensions, and fights. I've seen it up close and personal with 12 and 13-year-olds. But with that said, I never thought Cartier was a bad kid, and we probably coached against him 15 times. He was always troubled, though. And one day, a man in Webster Groves told me this. Do you know that Cartier's never played a game where he had a family member in the crowd who honestly loved him and wanted to see him succeed? Now, think about that. Think about all the games you may have played as a kid in high school or college. And you usually had somebody up in the stands who was just there for you, to support you, to love you. Cartier never had that. Now, I don't want to make excuses, but he didn't have a mom or dad or a white picket fence. So trouble followed him. Kicked off the team last year at Webster Groves, then someone made the coach take him back. Thought he had made some strides at SLU. I did see him make strides at SLU. But then you hear things like he's late for everything and he's fighting and bickering with teammates. Then yesterday, the tweet, high noon. Thank you, St. Louis. You were amazing. SLU became more quiet than the monks. No release to make it official. And here we are about 22 hours later. It appears he's gone, but why not a release to make it official? Are they trying to save him? Or is it simply one of his crazy tweets? He's done this before. Remember last year, the Mizzou tweets? It looks doubtful. I mean, remember last year, after he was signed and sealed, we put the betting line on the Hollywood Casino press box that it was 50-50 that he would be wearing a Billiken uniform. They are doing individual work this morning. Half the team will be doing drills. The other half will be weightlifting. Then they flip-flop. And then at 5 o'clock today, they're going to be having a practice. I talked to almost everybody involved in the situation last night, except Travis Ford. My guess is he's probably played his last game, but I certainly wouldn't bet, you know, the mortgage on it. Thoughts? Come on aboard. 855-282-8255, Maryville University, listener line, winning streak, text line. Lap two. I can excuse the behavior of Cartier Gordon. 19-year-olds, if they're not beating up anybody or abusing drugs, should get the benefit of the doubt in second and third and fourth chances. I don't see or show Antonio Brown any empathy. Listen to Coach Mike Tomlin yesterday.
Then after Friday's business was done, it became difficult to communicate and catch up with him. I wasn't able to communicate with him on Friday evening or Saturday morning. So when we had our Saturday morning mock game, a walkthrough, and he was unavailable and we hadn't communicated with him. Then it became something altogether different. We decided to focus our energies on the guys that were working and prepared to work and present. And so those are the guys that we prepared to play in the football game. Woke up Sunday morning, got a call from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Drew expressed that he was feeling better and that he would potentially be able to participate. I outlined to Drew that decisions weren't made like that, but I would be interested in visiting with him in person at the stadium prior to the game, but playing wasn't on the menu. So Drew relayed that to him. I met with AB prior to the game. He asked what he could do. I said the best thing he could do in terms of helping us win the game is to be there and support his teammates. He agreed to do that. We had a general conversation about his overall health. I sent him to the training staff to visit with those guys who obviously were at the stadium ready and people for play. And that was the last conversation that he and I had. I subsequently saw him in the bowl, in stadium, doing pregame warm-ups and things of that nature. But as the game began to unfold, obviously, I get occupied with the things that are at hand. I hear that he left the stadium. I don't confirm that because, again, I was centered around the guys that were performing in stadium.
I mean, he's getting paid about $1 million a game. And that game determined whether the Steelers made the postseason. It wasn't unreasonable to think that Baker Mayfield could beat the Ravens. And Pittsburgh wins the game and they're in. So he doesn't show up for the MRI Friday. He doesn't show up to practice on Saturday. And then his agent calls the coach on Sunday, says he can play? Look, I know he's one of the greatest receivers of his generation, but how do you pull that stunt? And God bless Mike Tomlin for showing some integrity here. This rarely happens. That in the game that determines whether you make the postseason, arguably your best player says, I want to play, and you don't let him play because he screwed up. Good for you, Mike Tomlin. And do you notice how nobody is defending Antonio Brown? Nobody. Ryan Clark is killing him on ESPN and what kind of teammate he really is. And then all these other stories are popping out about him too. Brutal that you behave like that. All those players, all those hours, all that time spent getting ready to try to get to the postseason, and you got this knucklehead not playing. That is horrible. Lap three. Non-sports thought of the day. The movie you must see. It's called The Green Book. It's about an Italian who was a bouncer in New York City, serving as a driver, maybe as a bodyguard too, to an African-American piano star named Don Shirley, who happens to play the piano as well as anybody in the country. He also happens to be gay. And the two travel in the Deep South. Shirley puts on concerts for rich white people in the southern part of the country. Take a listen to this clip.
As my mother always said, what kind of brand new fool are you? Look at them over there. Take a good look at the officer you hit. Look at him. He's over there having a grand old time chatting up with his pals. Enjoying a nice cup of coffee. And where are you? In here, with me, who did nothing. Yet I'm the one who pays the price. I'm the one who's gonna miss the Birmingham show.
Hey, I'm gonna lose a lot of money too if you don't play Birmingham.
So that little temper tantrum, was it worth it? Hmm? You never win with violence, Tony. You only win when you maintain your dignity. Dignity always prevails.
Really an unbelievable movie. Gotta see it. The Green Book. Lap four. Hey, the next time somebody tries to tell you that college football is as good as the NFL, drug test them. Or tell them this. Look at the bowl season that just happened, and then look what is about to happen this week in the NFL. Seattle at Dallas. Russell Wilson against Ezekiel Elliott. Philly, the Super Bowl champions, against the best defense the Bears have had maybe since Buddy Ryan was coaching them. Philip Rivers, in a game, you know, he almost kind of has to have. He can't go one and done again. against Lamar Jackson, who just doesn't lose many football games. And then the two hottest teams on the planet Earth, the Colts and Texans. Who's playing better football right now than Andrew Luck? What is not interesting about any of these games? Oh, give me Michigan against Florida. Oh, the Iowa-Mississippi State game. That's appointment television. Whoever, forget Oregon and Michigan State. Please. It's a no-brainer. You know, look, I hate Goodell, Kroenke, and Demoff, and Jerry Jones. But the game is so much more interesting. I'm interested in every game this weekend. I couldn't watch more than a quarter of any of those games. I mean, I'm interested bowl game-wise in Mizzou and the semifinals and the finals. And here, every NFL game this weekend is appointment television. Every game. Lap 5. The Blues and the Stanley Cup champion Capitals tonight. Now, I can remember this like it was yesterday. Free agency opened in the NHL. It's a Sunday around noon. I'm at the Mills. The Blues had made a few moves, including bringing back David Perron. The response by the fans when this was happening, not great. I was following it on Twitter. The Blues were coming off a playoffless season. None of the names acquired moved the needle. Perron, Chad Johnson, Tyler Bozak. I had just interviewed Doug Armstrong. I got the impression they were finished making moves, and so did the fans. Then it happened. The Blues pulled the trigger on a big deal. They sent Patrick Berglund, Vladimir Sobotka, and Tage Thompson to the Buffalo Sabres for a guy who had actually played in an All-Star game, Ryan O'Reilly. He will play in another one. Yesterday, the league confirmed what we have known all season long. He's an All-Star. He will be almost assuredly the lone Blues representative in the game. And there's a chance that if fans want to vote, they can vote for Vladimir Tarasenko. Exactly. Why? He's got two goals in the month of December. He's pointless in four games. He's got 11 goals. In a dismal season, Ryan O'Reilly is the shining light. He's the hardest worker and the most productive player. His routine is, after practice, he conducts another practice. Sometimes it lasts 45 minutes. It's contagious, too, because other players join him. If the best player on the team is practicing more, others usually follow. They have and do. It certainly paid off for O'Reilly, who leads the team in goals with 15 and assists with 20, plus-minus, and is third in the league in faceoffs won. He's just a joy to watch. When great skill is matched with an unbridled passion, results follow. The Blues are dead last in the Western Conference. However, they are still within striking range of a playoff berth, and there are 45 games left. There is a small chance that they get back in the playoff hunt. There would be no chance if Doug Armstrong wouldn't have pulled off that move. No chance at all. Lap 6. Cartier Gordon with a new tweet. Due to personal issues with my family and focusing on what's best for me and furthering my career, I have decided to ask for my release from the St. Louis men's basketball program. This was a tough decision for me, but it is one that I have to make to reach my goal and become the player I'm going to be. I thank the entire SLU community, from players and coaches, for being there and challenging me every single day to become better. To teachers and staff members and fans who brought me in with loving open arms and gave me a lot of rememberable moments I'll never forget. I'm not sure if that's a word. It was an honor wearing that Billiken jersey, being a part of such a great program, and going to war on the court with those guys. They will be missed, and I wish them all the best. Seconds ago, Cartier Gordon. Well, there you have it. Due to personal issues with my family focusing on what's best for me and furthering my career, I've decided to ask for my release. Maybe in meetings last night, Slew said we're not going to give you a release, and now he's going public with it, so they have to give him a release. Or I have no idea. But he's forcing the issue here. I wonder, I would think that he would go try to make money. But maybe he goes to a different school. Maybe he ends up at Mizzou. I know Tiger fans are excited about that. I texted Konzo, did not get a response. I'm sure he's going to lay low until this is all done. So, it's official. Cartier Gordon will not play another game in a Billiken uniform. Thoughts on that? Come on aboard. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Maryville University has been a proud sponsor of this program. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Lot going on in the sports world today. We're going to break it down with Martin Kilcoyne at 11 o'clock, but the big one tonight, the Blues and the Stanley Cup champion Capitals come to town. Joining us now is the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing awesome today. How are you doing?
Very good. Well, some good news. I'm sure it didn't surprise you. Ryan O'Reilly is an All-Star.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Really, the one guy and maybe the only guy that truly deserves to be there for the St. Louis Blues. And when I say deserves to be there, I think he does. You know, next to John Tavares, I don't think any other player that changed teams from this past summer has had more points than Ryan O'Reilly. So he's had a heck of a year. I think he's been a leader with his work ethic. He's been a leader with his comments. He's been a leader with his column. Unfortunately, record-wise, it's not going well. But individually for him, it's been a heck of a first half.
You know, you see it every day in practice, but kind of illustrate this for our audience or give us a little insight on what he does. Practice ends, and then he stays out there.
Yeah, you know what you tend to see, and I'll bet you that you see this at the ballpark a decent amount, Frank, and in other sports. Once a scheduled or a structured practice ends, players tend to kind of go off and they'll do their different things. What you tend to find is athletes, frankly, of all levels, they seem to go and they work at what they're really good at, right? But what they don't work as much at is areas where they need to improve. And I think Ryan O'Reilly does the opposite. Ryan O'Reilly, he goes out there and he focuses on more skill stuff and he works on different drills. And he's got other guys doing it. There was a practice a few weeks ago up at the Mills where the practice had ended. And then he took a bucket of pucks, probably had about 50 pucks, and he just kind of sprinkled them around the faceoff dot on one side of the net, kind of like he just peppered the ice with a pepper shaker. And then he had David Perron and he had Patrick Maroon with him. Well, they kind of tried to stick handle through all these pucks, just kind of, and then they pull it out and shoot it to the net. And then whoever shot it would then go to the net and then try to deflect the shot from the next guy. And they did this until they had gone through all the pucks. He's just, he's a rink rat. He loves being on the ice and he loves working on skill things. And it's worked out well for him. And I think it's benefiting a guy like Robert Thomas very well, who has, taken to Ryan and followed some of that work ethic approach that he's had.
You know, even though it's been a disappointing year, you know, there's 44, 45 games left, and you'd think there's still a chance. There's absolutely a chance. And where they would be without Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, what an incredible trade that was when Doug Armstrong pulled the trigger late on the first day of free agency.
Yeah, I don't think that the team would be any better off if they had not made the trade, and he has been terrific. He's delivered more points and he's delivered better top 6 minutes than Patrick Berglund would have, than Vladimir Sobotka would have, than Tage Thompson would have, and I'd venture to say combined. So you look at what he's done, and he has been that good. And, you know, unfortunately, it just hasn't gone well. And, you know, to be honest with you, for a team that's spent right up against the salary cap just about every year since Tom Stillman took over as owner, where this team is right now is a little bit unfathomable. I think you can logically look at certain moves. I think you can look at certain decisions and say, I think this has helped lead to where you are. but I really don't think anybody, including the players themselves, anticipated them hitting the ice on January 3rd and finding themselves in last place in the National Hockey League. It's a difficult spot for them to be in.
So yesterday we were talking with Coach Berube in his media scrum, and he talked about what he's seen a little bit differently from Tarasenko, or actually in the last game, where he went to the net a little bit more and was a little bit more aggressive. It's really baffling that he had a two-goal month, that he has the worst plus-minus on the team. What are you seeing there?
You know, I'll take that from two angles, Frank. The first one, Vladimir individually. It's been statistically his worst season of his career so far. And whether that is related to the off season of recovering from shoulder surgery, I don't know. I don't know if that's just making excuses or grasping for straws. And that's me saying that. That's not the player himself saying it or the coaching staff, as you know. They said, no, it's not an issue. But you try to – again, we always try to find reasons. For whatever reason, it hasn't been there. And the only thing that I know is this, is the one thing that gets skilled players out of slumps is working harder. It doesn't mean working more. It just working. It means working smarter. When Vladimir's on, he's changing speeds. He's skating down the wing. He'll slow down, draw the defender in, and then he'll use that leg strength that he has, which is tremendous leg strength. And he'll get behind the defense, and he draws penalties that way. He goes to the net. When he's engaged, he can be very difficult to take the puck off. When he's not engaged, he turns the puck over. The stat that jumps off the page at me every bit as much as the lack of goal scoring is the fact that he's gone 15 games without an assist. Now, when you're on the power play as much as he is, 15 games without an assist for Vladimir Tarasenko is a crazy number, because he really is a good passer. And if you look at his career numbers, you've got assists and goals that are almost dead even since day one of his career. So that also tells you something, where he's trying to force things rather than take what's given to him and make it happen. Craig Berube is trying to get him to shoot the puck quicker, and Vladimir Tarasenko needs to adjust his game to do it, because teams have adjusted to him extremely well. The other angle I look at is just from a team perspective, and this is a little more baffling. It's not just him that's off. Jaden Schwartz is off. Braden Schenn is off. Alex Pietrangelo is off. Jay Bouwmeester is off. Jake Allen is off. I mean, there's so many other guys where their game isn't anywhere close to what we have seen in the past, that it just makes you scratch your head even more so than statistically from just one guy.
So tonight it's the Capitals, TJ Oshie, and of course Alexander Ovechkin. And I want to get your take before we let you go on this. Ovechkin announced yesterday he is not going to play in the All-Star game. And his reasoning is that, you know, he plays a lot of minutes. He needs a break. It's more important to the franchise that if he gets that rest. Now, he's going to face a one-game suspension because he's not going to play in the All-Star game. But I almost kind of saw his point. I mean, if the only goal is to make his team as good as possible down the stretch, then maybe it makes sense, although it's not good for the league at all. Your take.
It is not good for the league at all to have essentially your superstar in there. And you know, if he wants to be talked about in the realm of a Sidney Crosby, then you aren't going to see Sidney Crosby doing, you know, pulling that chunk. I'm going to take a much more direct aspect towards the players. I think the players need to wake up and realize what a collective bargaining agreement is. Okay, they agree to what is going on. They agreed as a players' union, as an association, that the All-Star game is there. They agreed. The reason that the bye week is in is because when the players were so lackadaisical and said such an embarrassing All-Star game a few years ago, they changed the format on 3-on-3 to create more excitement, and it's worked. The players negotiated a bye week as part of it. The fact that one of your top players is doing this, I think the suspension should be more than one game. I think it should be a 3-game suspension if a player decides he's healthy but decides he doesn't want to go. And the reality of it is unfortunately, I think players want their cake and they want to eat it too. You know, they only want what is impactful for them, and they forget the other things that as a group, whether it be because they hired Donald Fair or whatever, they negotiated these things. It's part of the CBA. Show up. That's the way I look at it. So, no, I think what he's doing is inexcusable. I think it's bad for the game. It's a shame for the fans in San Jose. And hockey fans in general, that basically your top star next to Sidney Crosby who was such a great ambassador after winning the Stanley Cup, isn't going to be there. And shame on him for making that decision. Now, look, I understand why, and I don't disagree with his reasoning of wanting to do it, but that's beside the point. You know, you've agreed to things as part of a collective bargaining agreement. Show up and honor it. That's the way I look at it.
Chris, good stuff. We'll talk next week. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Frank, have a good week. Talk to you later.
All right, great stuff from Chris Kerber on the Hollywood Casino Press Box, and that's brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business that's been serving St. Louis for over 30 years. Each location just as clean and fast and friendly as the next. With 50 locations to serve you in a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the Blues. We'll take a short time out when we come back. Bob Glauber on some coaching giants.